Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, May the 17th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. President Trump's financial disclosure referred to the Department of Justice. Also on the rundown, the U.S. Senate votes to block the FCC's rollback of net neutrality. Plus, we'll let you know why students want Nevada universities to divest from fossil fuels. Topping our news, President Trump's financial disclosure release Wednesday included for the first time a repayment of more than $100,000 to his personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, in the year 2017. The New York Times reports this is raising questions about whether Mr. Trump's sworn filing from a year ago improperly omitted that debt. The Times adds in a highly unusual letter, the Office of Government Ethics alerted the Justice Department Wednesday that the Ethics Office had determined that the payment that was made by Mr. Cohen is required to be reported as a liability. The U.S. Senate took a stand on open Internet protections Wednesday, voting 52-47 to stop the FCC's recent move to roll back net neutrality rules that were finalized under the Obama administration. Here's Eric Gelattis.
A similar bill will now go to the House, where a majority would need to sign on to force a vote. Tim Carr, with the group Free Press, says the Senate's action is an important step in unwinding what he calls one of the most unpopular policy decisions in the history of the FCC. He points to a recent University of Maryland study showing 86% of Americans oppose the rollback.
82% of Republicans support the net neutrality protections and oppose the FCC's recent decision to take those away. We're very hopeful that our members of Congress will do their jobs, which is essentially to represent the interests of the American public.
Supporters of open Internet rules warned that a rollback would allow Internet providers such as Comcast and Verizon to create fast lanes for their content and slow lanes for websites that couldn't pay. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and others argued that removing protections would return the Internet to the same regulatory environment that helped it grow. Industry groups have also claimed that the rules have blunted investment.
The FCC's so-called Restoring Internet Freedom Order, reversing open Internet rules, is scheduled to go into effect on June the 11th. Companion bills in Congress aim to increase oversight and put a moratorium on the additional construction of immigration detention centers. Eric Tegedoff has our report.
The Detention Oversight, Not Expansion, or DUN Act, introduced by Washington State Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal and California Senator Kamala Harris, is in part a response to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement's request to build five new facilities in the Midwest. Jayapal says detention centers are actually prisons and are inhumane, noting more than 170 people have died in ICE's custody since 2003. She says ICE has a process in place to inspect facilities, but it's ineffective.
What ICE does is they tell the facilities, okay, we're coming to investigate you now. We're coming to see if you're meeting the standards. And so you see a giant cleanup, essentially, right before the inspection happens.
The DUN Act would require the Department of Homeland Security's Office of the Inspector General to conduct unannounced inspections. Jayapal says facilities not in compliance would receive cuts in funding.
Eric tells us that private corporations oversee more than 60% of ICE detention beds. That's according to grassroots leadership. And with less than a week left in the Minnesota legislative session, Suzanne Potter reports it's unclear whether either house will pass meaningful elder care legislation.
Advocates for older people say abuse in assisted living facilities has reached crisis levels, with about 400 cases being reported across the country every week. Christine Sundberg with Elder Voice Family Advocates, co-author of a recent report about the problem, says the elder care industry is failing to put patient safety first, largely because of staff who are overworked, undertrained, and underpaid.
The industry's accepting more and more people with greater and greater needs, yet they aren't staffed to handle those needs.
She says in the worst cases, those staff members become callous toward their jobs and the people in their care. Minnesota is the only state in the country that doesn't require licensing for assisted living facilities. Opponents of licensing bills have claimed that severe abuse is rare and that more regulation could drive some care providers out of business.
On Wednesday, Governor Mark Dayton sent a letter to lawmakers asking for standalone bills. A House-backed bill by AARP and the Alzheimer's Association has been abandoned, while another less popular measure to study the need for elder care licensing has been wrapped into an omnibus bill. And finally, Catherine Davis-Young tells us that college students in Nevada want the state's public universities to sell off financial holdings in companies that produce coal, oil, and other fuels that have been shown to contribute to climate change.
Hundreds of colleges in the U.S. and abroad have divested from fossil fuel investments in recent years. University of Nevada, Las Vegas junior Shelo Gumabon is working with about 50 other students across other university and community college campuses in the state to organize a petition. She says her peers are committed to fighting climate change.
We're all here doing this to have a sustainable future, you know, and without our push for it, then we can't make the future that we want to see. So that's why we're working so hard towards that.
Gumabon says students are asking the university system to instead make investments in renewable energy.
Nevada students are gathering signatures on their petition. They plan to take their proposal to the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education in early June. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.